Thank you. Thank you. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? I was on fire. I don't know about you, but it's really, really warm in here. How about we pray? Father, we thank you for your awesome presence this morning. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have met with us this morning. We have come with hungry and expectant hearts, waiting to hear from you. And we are in your presence, God. We do not want to live the same. Speak to us, Lord, and show your face this morning. And bless each and every one of us in this place that we will receive from you something new today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, like Pastor David said, we've been talking about the word big, and he's on this whole big myth. I am talking about living big. What comes to your mind when you think of living big? And I was just listening to Ivan as he was talking about Africa, and it just brought tears back to my eyes because it put me back in that place where I had all these imaginations. They told me when you come to Australia, you get to live big. And so I was quite excited, and I had all these imaginations of what life in Australia is going to be like, what I would attain, what I would achieve, go back to school, all those sort of things. And I started to realize that's actually not true. That's not how you get to live big. Because I actually got more and more frustrated. I realized you guys work a lot. Australians work so hard. We don't get to do any of that. Well, we do work, but not as hard as Australians do. So a lot of things had to change in my life. And all of a sudden, I had to be a stay-home mom. We never get to do that in Africa. You just have your baby 6 weeks, you go back to work, you have a maid, you have a nanny. It's all bliss out there. I mean, we are poor, of course. There's no water out of our taps and that sort of thing. But our definition of living big is totally different from you people here. And I just want to take you on this journey. So you will find I'll start to be using that sort of you, me kind of thing. Don't get distracted. I'm taking you somewhere today because I know a lot of us have migrated from other countries or have changed positions in within employment. We've had changes, and all these changes have affected our definition of living big. So just stay with me, all right? You find that today the definition of living big has been narrowed down to success. It has been narrowed down to being wealthy, getting a good accommodation, mortgage-free, that sort of thing. But that's really, really not what living big should be for us as Christians. As I settled in this country, I held on to my beliefs, and I got more and more frustrated because I was chasing after the definition that a system has given to us. And we know we do not belong to the system of this world, but we belong to the system of the kingdom of God. And so one day I actually had a revelation. When I landed in Australia, my luggage got lost, which they didn't tell me would happen in a first world country. So all my luggage got lost, and all I had left was my Bible. That was the only thing I had left. And it just brought back that reminder that that's all we have as Christians. We don't have material things. What we have is the Word of God. So I had to go back and reflect on what the Word of God actually says about living big. And I'm reading from Numbers chapter 13 and from verse 1. It says, the Lord now said to Moses, "Send up men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And when we fast forward to verse 25, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses and they reported to the whole community what they had seen. And this was their report to Moses. "We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces.
But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour everyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. I even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers." And that's what they thought too. We find that based on these false reports, generations and generations wandered for 40 years before going into the land that God had promised them. And that is the same for us as Christians. We keep wandering and wandering, searching after this living big, when the promise of God is right before you and you just cannot grab it. They couldn't even enjoy this promise because of the fear other people had imposed on them. The other day I was talking to my kids, I was taking them to school, and they were telling me about, it was actually Gareth, and he said to me, "Mom, why is it that we celebrate these weird things?" I thought, hang on, okay. What are you telling me now? And he says, "Father Christmas is an intruder who comes in the middle of the night down a chimney and leaves you a gift, and we're supposed to be happy. The Tooth Fairy is an intruder who still comes in the middle of the night, and he's supposed to leave you some money. Easter Bunny is a weird cat who brings you chocolate, and as a child, I'm disturbed because we have to celebrate this." And I thought, this is weird. For a long time, we have normalized these things. What else have we normalized? And we've become so confident and comfortable in our way of life, and it is actually so far from the truth of God. Behaviors have been given names. Sin has been watered down so much that we are so comfortable in it. And then we wonder why we do not get to experience this whole big life that God has in store for us. I wonder if it is the same with you, that there are some truths that have been imposed on you by other people that have left you feeling afraid. There's some perceptions of living big that have been imposed on you by society, that have left you doubting yourself. Now, don't get me wrong, we need rules, and our rules differ by country. We need education, we need wealth, we need all of that for the system of the world to function. But in the kingdom of God, we have different rules. And this is what we are going to be talking about. Because for so long, we have this bucket list. We have a list of things we want to attain and achieve. But what happens when you do not achieve them? Does that make you less of a person? No. But we continue to live a life of weakness because we've been made to believe that you are only a person when you achieve this. Only when you graduate. Now, I come from a country where education is a big thing. In my family, until you get a PhD, you're nobody. That's just how they think. And so for a very long time, I kept forcing myself to go to uni, and I didn't want to. And then I had to ask myself, what is this? And it's the same for a lot of Africans, really. You will find we love to get educated, but we have a poor nation. So, here's my question to you. With all the busyness of life, have we taken time to actually ask ourselves, what does God want for me as an individual? Because it's different from one person to another. Living big is not a feeling. It is not a perception of society. It is what God wants for you as an individual. Since we belong to the kingdom of God, we do not conform to the patterns of this world. But in all our ways, we acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. It says in John 1 verse 12, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we are a royal priesthood. We live without fear or timidity, but a sound mind. We live without anxiety, but with overwhelming peace, because we are confident that God has got our back. We know that even if we don't understand what he is up to with our lives, we have that confidence that all things will work together for good, for the good of those who love him. So we live in dominion, we live in power and authority over the enemy. We do not succumb to the enemy. We have dominion. So my brothers and sisters, God has given us power to cast out demons, not to tolerate them, but to stand above them. In this world that we live, we have started to tolerate the things that God hates instead of hating the things that he hates. It says in Proverbs 6:16 that God hates haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. But don't we all have reasons for this? We call it a white lie, a gray lie. It's got colors. A lie is a lie. Now, for a very long time, I believed that I was a second-class citizen. And this is because of how we were raised. And I was telling people, I only started to feel equal when I came to Australia. Because for a very long time, we were made to feel that we were second-class citizens. And I was so conscious of being black and what we have to do for work, what we cannot access. And that, you know, we are from poor nations, so we make poor decisions. We are always late. It's an African thing. But as I asked God for more answers on who I am as a person, it became clearer that this was a grasshopper mentality. I had bought into the untruths of a system that I lived in. And I have two kids who were born in Australia. And I have to tell them who we are, our heritage, where we come from. And as I am teaching them these things, I realized, hang on, I have a choice here to impart the same fear on them so that for the rest of their lives, they too grow as a second-class citizen. Or to teach them the truth of who they are in the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you. There's certain things that you've been told that, oh, okay, we are a family of drunkards. Oh, we amount to nothing. We don't get to do this. And those have become generational curses that have been passed on you, imposed on you by a system. We have to challenge those things by the power of God. Because we are children of God, we do not succumb to this system. So don't let the system rob you of your victory. Do not let other people tell you how much grace is afforded to you. It's given to us all the same. You're not worse a sinner than the other. We're all sinners, all waiting to go to heaven. So do not let them pull you down. Do not let them tell you who you are in the kingdom of God. Only God can do that. So we are restless because we focus so much on attaining the carnal things instead of pleasing God through his will. God made you and I with the passion and an ability to accomplish that which he deposited in us. And so how do we know what he deposited in us? Put simply, the greatest commandment we were given is based on love. To love God and to love others. And the final commandment that Jesus gives is to go and make disciples. And these are disciples of love. Our responsibility is to share love. If what makes you get up in the morning is not driven by love, you've got to question God for why he created you. Because he didn't create us just to breathe and have a job. No, he created us to spread love. In your workplace, at home, in your family, you have a significant part to play in spreading the love of God. Life is a journey and heaven is our destination. So while we are here on earth, we function by the principles of God's kingdom. In his word, living big means living according to God's purpose or plan for us to use our gifts and abilities while we are here on earth. And that is what living big is all about. Let me encourage you to start living big by living his will. Find out what it is that he wants you to do. For the young ones that are looking for a job, don't go looking for a job. Look for a place of significance, a place where you can become an influencer. Because each and every one of us, whether we know it or not, are influencing somebody, whether good or bad. And we should be influencing people with love, God's love. When you seek employment, seek for a place that you can spread love. As Ivan was talking about the prisons, it just reminded me, I always say to Taps, my husband is an accountant, and I always say to him, there's no difference between an accountant and a thief. And that is true, because both of them, right? They plan. They work on projects. They analyze. They calculate. And they execute. The only difference between them is which kingdom you belong to, which system you're operating in. But they're doing the same thing. And that's the thing with our jobs as well. If we are not careful, our jobs will just become meaningless. And like a thief, we will come to steal, rob, and destroy everything around us. We have to operate with the gifts and abilities that God has given us so that we can allow his name to be glorified. So as we reflect on the scripture that we've just read, Moses is asking people to spy over Canaan. And this is the place they have been promised. And they started to feel like grasshoppers. Do not feel belittled by the system of this world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We need to walk with authority, with dominion. When you're in your place of work, they need to know who you are because of who God is to you. You need to show what faith means. You need to show what love means. This world is really dying right before us because we are not showing the love. We have given in to the system of this world, and like everyone else, we are chasing after material things. And that works for this system. But what happens when we come to that very last day and we ask, what is your legacy? What have you left behind? Because that is what we are about as children of God. Spreading faith, showing the people around us who God is. Let us not be limited by time, how much we can pray. When was the last time you saw people exercising the gifts of the Spirit in church? When was the last time you saw people praying until heaven broke? When was the last time you saw a demon being cast out? Does that mean they are not demons? But there's people here who've got the gifts that God has given to them, and still we are not using them in his kingdom because the system has told us not to. The church has been infiltrated by the laws as well. All of a sudden, we can't do this, we can't do that. As children of God, what are we doing outside of church? We only come here on Sunday. What are we doing outside of church? Now, my greatest disappointment when I came to Australia, I was coming from a nation where every day there was church service. You literally would walk out of work during lunchtime and go into a church service. And then I came into Australia and I realized, okay, I'm on my own. But the good thing, though, about that was it tested my sincerity. Because there I was relying on a team of people to worship with me. Now I'm on my own. So if I had a culture of worshiping every day at lunchtime, because I'm in Australia, do I stop? No, I have to keep going. And it's the same as you. When you experience the glory of God, you do not stop because the system said you cannot. You continue because God wants that for you. Amen. Let me conclude with this. And if the singers would come. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run this endurance, the race set out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." That is what I consider to be living big. If living big was left to the world to judge us, I'm not successful, I'm not wealthy. Our church is not a massive church. So we would not qualify by the standards of this world. But in the kingdom of God, no one is keeping score. And that's a good thing. Amen. The criteria for living big is about having a passion for living for Christ, rejoicing in the assurance that God is our Father and we are His children. He loves us so much and our destiny is secure. With this confidence, we live life to bring honor and glory to the one who gave His life for us so that we could become children of God. We have a responsibility to share this joy with others and proclaim the saving grace found in Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's stand up and pray.